we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. Appreciate you joining us this afternoon. Always talking about those core issues that are impacting the culture. And, of course, when you think about what's going on in the culture right now, we've been in a culture war for decades and decades. Obviously, Don Wildman saw that coming before almost anybody on the planet and put in place the tools necessary to fight that culture war. And we today still benefit from that, even you as a listener right now benefiting from that. And I've been thinking a lot about the progress of what happens when there's pain, even in the role in there, listening to suffering and how that creates that perseverance. And James talks about counting it all joy. And when we're dealing with a culture that is falling apart, we're dealing with a culture that has allowed Marxism and just frankly evil. I mean, just everything that we know is bad for our children and for our society to be allowed, to be not just tolerated, but celebrated, to be promoted. When that stuff is happening, it creates pain. It when you do things that are not God's way, you get a bad result. It's laid out for us in Deuteronomy. Here's blessings or curses, take your pick, and it's how you live and the choices you make. Well, we've made some really bad choices as a nation, and we're dealing with pain now that is causing people to reverse their positions. They're starting to look at the pain and go, I don't like the results I'm getting. I mean, we are definitely sheep, don't get me wrong, but we do learn sometimes. I mean, after enough pain, people will finally go, you know what? I don't like how this is turning out. I don't like the results that I'm getting. There has to be a better way. And I saw a poll, I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before yesterday, where we're already seeing finally, for the first time, maybe in my lifetime, we're seeing the polling on some of these positions that people take and how they feel about some of these things that have been allowed in our culture to tear it down. We finally see them going the right direction. In other words, less tolerant. You know, people have made it like tolerance is this holy grail of character traits, and that if you really are a good person, you are tolerant of everything. Really? Tolerance of everything makes you a good person? I don't understand that concept, because that would mean that if I tolerate someone taking advantage of my children, that I'm a good person. I don't think that's a good person. I think that's a really lousy parent, really lousy person. So being tolerant has been totally distorted by the left. Everybody knows this. We've watched this happen. We even mock it. We laugh about the fact that the tolerant left is violent and, you know, doesn't allow you to speak. They stop free speech. They're anything but tolerant. But in the 80s and 90s, man, that was the term of art. And that's what they used to get us to allow for things in our communities that are very unhealthy and very destructive to the culture. So what do I mean when I say it's finally turning a little bit? This poll that shows that people are actually going the other direction. And it's actually, let's see, who did the poll? This is the Values and Beliefs poll done by Gallup. So, you know, most famous of all pollsters. I'm not saying necessarily the best. I think George Barna is the best, but certainly the most famous. And they do this survey every year in May, the Values and Beliefs poll. And in 2023, 63% of Americans say that there's nothing wrong with gay or lesbian relationships. That's 7% down. All right. So in other words, that I know that doesn't sound good, right? 63%, man, you got, you know, almost 2/3 of the country that says this is morally fine and is, quote unquote, they're being, quote unquote, tolerant. So that's what the deal is. They're just, you know, following along with what they were taught in the 80s and 90s to feel good about. And the number has gone up every year. But now this year, for the first time, it's gone down. And I think Tony Perkins got this right. I saw a quote from him on this. If you're not familiar with attorneys, Tony used to be a congressman. He runs Family Research Council. And he said, people, quote, people are beginning to connect the dots between these agendas. We were all told this is just about live and let live, just being able to marry the one you love. and disengaged voters didn't realize that it was going to involve the indoctrination of their children, the infiltration of every media outlet in America, and even that different professions will be forced to affirm these same-sex unions or go out of business. Americans are finally saying enough is enough, and they're pushing back. I think Tony's right. I've sensed this out there in the field, in meaning like when I'm out there speaking and talking to people at the book table or taking questions, doing Q&A after a presentation, and you can tell there's just a sense and a level of, I am done with this. I am tired of having this stuff forced on my family, on my children, on my community, the institutions that used to be God-honoring that have been taken over and just completely, you know, Dennis Prager says it all the time, the left destroys everything they touch. Well, this is one of those things where the LGBTQ, go down the list, community, they have destroyed institutions and absolutely destroyed the reputation and the effectiveness of some of these institutions. And frankly, even those who, you know, and I forget what all the letters stand for, to be honest with you, but even some in that broad stroke group that has been thrown together, right, do not agree with the grooming and with the transgender and with all of these things that literally, you know, shake their fist at God. And there's starting to be, even out of that community, a recognition of what we have said for decades. You are so much more than your sexual proclivities, that you're so much more than your sinful desires, and that all of us, every human being on the planet, has sinful desires that they're born with, that we don't engage in or encourage or grow because we know it's unhealthy and that it's bad for us. So the idea that we would do things just because we're, quote, born this way, is a lousy idea for life in general. If you don't want to experience a lot of pain, and if you want to actually enjoy life more, then you don't just follow your feelings and go with, you know, I was born this way. And that's whether you're heterosexual, homosexual, whatever those desires happen to be. And it's so much of it comes back to this identity thing. This is why it's kind of, everything's coming to a head. This is why there's this level of frustration and this point of, I'm done with this. Because once they started attacking identity itself, the whole concept of who you are, and even down to your gender, and they started deciding that they could change that based on feelings, people started going, wait a minute, this is going too far. And then when they started going after the kids, not just letting people do that at, you know, 20 years old or 30 years old or whatever as in adulthood, but now going after children and changing it, it's just too much. It's just too much for even the most disinterested person. And I realize if you're listening to this program, you're not a disinterested person. You're someone that is probably well-educated on these issues. You've probably all your life seen the dangers of this agenda and where it would lead. And so even when it started, as Tony's talking about, is, you know, we're told we just want to be able to love the people we want to love. It sounds so innocent and it sounds so innocuous and something that you would want to support, right? They are masters at couching it that way. And that's how sin is. It's always going to be appealing, right? It's always going to, if sin was not appealing, we wouldn't all fall for it, right? And so this is a point, I think, I'm speculating this afternoon, folks. Hang with me for a minute. But I was thinking about it this morning, and I really believe we're at an inflection point where people really are just fed up. And enough people are fed up that I believe the tide can be turned. I believe we're at a point where all of these woke corporations are starting to say, wow, we bought into this. We thought this is what would sell more of our product. We thought this is what would be popular. And in some cases, it didn't even matter if it sold product because you had real ideologues take over these boards and they didn't care if they lost money. They just wanted to push the agenda. But in most cases for companies, it's about the bottom dollar. It's about the profit. And so they're realizing, wow, we thought this would actually help us. We're realizing it's hurting us. Now, for a woke agenda to hurt a company, then we on this side have to be willing to stand by the courage of our convictions. We have to be willing to stand up and say, we're not going to spend money with you. We have to hurt their pocketbook when they go against our values in such a way. And that's one another thing that American Family has been so good at, not just boycotting anything and everything, but picking and choosing wisely and saying, okay, here's a fight we can win. Or here's a fight that will at least make a difference. Here's a fight that is worth fighting and where we can put in and marshal our resources. And so we've seen Target. We've seen Bud Light. We've seen all of these things with Disney. I mean, all of these things in just the last 12 months are coming to a head. And it's changing the attitude of Americans. And so for the first time that I'm aware of in my lifetime, we see those polling numbers going the right direction. We're seeing people actually realize that the pain is too great, that these decisions, licentiousness, this license for licentiousness in the culture is actually leading to bad outcomes, so much so that it affects me as well. And a lot of times people allow for, you know, things to get out of hand if they think it's not going to affect them. They're like, you just do whatever you want to do. Now they're realizing you cannot live in a libertarian society where everybody just does anything and everything that they want without it affecting you. It affects your backyard. It affects your children. You end up with people like Joe Biden who will stand up and say those aren't your children, that they're everybody's children. And so when you start down that road of a license for licentiousness where anything goes and you become unmoored from right and wrong, unmoored from the bedrock principles of truth that, frankly, the founding fathers themselves started the Declaration of Independence with. Okay, actually, there's one paragraph before that, but the first paragraph is just setting it up, saying when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which connect them another, go on and on and on. Anyway, it's basically saying here's why we're declaring our independence. But then in the second paragraph, when they say here's why we're declaring our independence, here's who we are, what do they start with? We hold these truths to be self-evident. So the whole idea that there is a right and wrong, that there are bedrock principles, that's what we have to come back to. So this polling data that I started with, that we're seeing finally a trend in the right direction, that will continue if we on our side continue to stand up for truth. We're doing better than we've done in my whole life in terms of pastors standing up, people getting engaged, people sacrificing, people doing what is necessary to preserve freedom. There's more energy right now than ever before out there. And maybe it's coming from that point of frustration. Maybe it's coming from that I'm just done point that people are reaching. That's fine. I don't care. Whatever it is that's causing it, there's finally enough people awake that we're able to move this thing in the right direction and get some some good culture instead of bad culture. So anyway, I know I'm kind of rambling a little bit in this first segment, but I just thought that poll was really, really important to share with you and just to kind of set up why we do what we do here at the core. The whole idea is to say there are bedrock principles, there are truths that we need to stand for, that we need to stand by and we need to fight for. And when you give in to this idea of a license for licentiousness, when you give in to this idea of well, we'll just tolerate this thing, once you start tolerating wrong and you start tolerating evil, the next step is that they will ask you to actually celebrate it. So you have to actually not be able to say, well, I don't agree with that, but you can do what you want. Now it's, oh, well, you have to agree with that. And then it has to be that you actually participate in it. So that's where what it's all come to. And now you've got, you know, Major League Baseball realizing the pain of that. Thank you, Texas Rangers, for not having a Pride Night. The only baseball team to not have a Pride Night. Why? Because they knew the pain was going to be too much. They were watching what was happening with Los Angeles. You know, I talked about the Dodgers and the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence on this program already, but I don't know if you saw, I don't think I've talked about the fact that the stadium was empty. That's right. The stadium was empty for the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. It needs to stay empty the rest of the year. That's how you make them hurt enough at the pocketbook with their dollars that they stop indulging in this. Now, you know, tolerance turned into celebration. In this case, okay. All right, folks. We'll talk more about how to win. We'll talk about some of the things that are happening out there. We'll talk about every day. It seems like he's playing to something new. Talk about that.
At the Core podcast are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, and thrilled to be with you this afternoon. Let's hit some of these headlines and get to your phone calls as well. In fact, let me give out the number, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Look forward to hearing from you with your comments, questions, insults, whatever you got. But let's jump into Hunter Biden. Listen, we got to cover this one, folks. It's just all over the place, and seems like every day he has another plea deal to something that he's done. And they're all little bitty slaps on the wrist. I mean, this is, it's just obvious, right? Everybody knows what's happening. This is the two-tiered justice system literally being shoved into our face. Like, they're certainly not apologizing for it, but they're not even trying to make it look like it's, not a two-tiered justice system. So you've got even IRS whistleblowers that are actually now coming out and saying Biden received preferential treatment from the IRS, from the DOJ, in his tax fraud investigations. But let's be clear, just kind of set the stage here, because it's really hard to keep up. The Biden family, the Biden crime family, has done so many things that are illegal. I cannot keep up with now all the different investigations, so you're probably having trouble with that as well. It's not just Hunter, it's Joe, it's his brother, it's the whole Biden family. It's amazing to me that the Democrats themselves do not say, this guy's a problem, this family is a problem, we got to get them off center stage. I'm going to have to eat some crow if they actually make him the nominee again, because I said there's no way. I didn't even leave room to be, I didn't leave room. I didn't even leave a percentage. I have been saying there's a 100% chance, there's a 100% certainty that Joe Biden will not be the Democrat nominee in 2024. And I may have to eat some crow, because we're getting to, it's almost, June's almost over, and this is still their guy. I just can't believe it. I mean, but it's literally in our face, the Biden crime family, and yet they still the Democrats still defend this family. They still defend this guy, and they still want him to be their nominee for president. It's shocking. Okay, but let's get to it. All right, so Biden apparently, Hunter Biden, apparently, didn't pay a couple million dollars in taxes that he owed, just chump change to the Bidens. I mean, we all have, $5 million coming in from Burisma this year and next year, right? We all have this kind of money just laying around. So, I've just forgot to pay $1.5 million or whatever it was. I was busy, with my escapades. I don't know. I don't even know what his excuses were for not paying it. But the fact is he did reach some sort of settlement. He's not going to have to go to jail. The weapons charge, not going to have to go to jail. And let me tell you what bothers me the most about the weapons charge thing. As you know, if you listen to this program, I'm really big on the Second Amendment. We train thousands and thousands of people on self-defense, on following the law, on making sure you know the law in your state so that you don't do one of these things that will cost you your license or potentially have the book thrown at you. And part of the reason we train people to be wise in how they exercise their Second Amendment rules or Second Amendment rights is because we know that the left, they're going to enforce the rules against us, but not against their own. In other words, what I mean by that is if you're going to carry a firearm to defend your family, which you absolutely should. Now, you definitely need to be trained before you carry, which is why you should go to patriotacademy.com, get signed up for one of our constitutional defense courses. We do them every week at our new campus in Fredericksburg, Texas, and it's the least expensive and the best training on the planet. So come hang out with us and get some constitutional training as well. Okay, if you're carrying a weapon and you violate some gun law, and there's so many of them, it's ridiculous. But let's say you're in some goofy state like New Jersey, and they've got some goofy law about how your gun has to be, in one part of the car and your ammunition in another part of your car. Everything's got to be under, quadruple lock and key. I mean, it's insane what they make you do, and it makes it impossible to defend yourself should something happen. But let's say you do that. And you violate, some little part of the letter of the law. I'm telling you, they are going to throw the book at you when they find out you're a patriot, when they find out that you're a Christian, when they find out that you love the Lord, when they find out that you actually believe in the Bible. I'm telling you, it's a political persecution system in America now. good friend of mine was just checking his bag, declaring his firearm, as you're supposed to do, as I do every time I get on a plane. You check your firearm and your baggage. You go up to, you know, you do all that. You go, they got all these rules you got to follow. You make sure you do all of that. This guy does this to the letter of the law, and they, New York, unbelievably, the police officer arrests him right there on the spot. He has to spend the night in jail. They throw the book at him, finally gets it all dismissed after spending tons of money and time. It was insane. That's what they're going to do to anyone who they know is fighting for liberty. On the other hand, if you're Joe Biden's son or you're just a leftist progressive and they find that out, then it's the two-tier justice system. You get, even if you get prosecuted at all, in most of those cases, they're going to let you out. They're going to not even pursue the charge. Folks, we have district attorneys across this nation who are not pursuing murder charges and all kinds of horrific charges if you have the right color of skin, if you come from the right community, if you have the right political persuasion. That is a two-tier justice system, and it cannot last. It cannot stand. We will fall apart as a nation. We will lead to civil war if we do not fix this. And so here we are with Hunter Biden being shoved in our face with all of these preferential treatments, where he is now getting this slap on the wrist for his tax evasion, for his handgun crime, for, you know, we'll see what else. I mean, now he's just settled, I guess, yesterday in a paternity suit where some stripper had to sue him because, you know, he's the father of her child and he's not paying child support. And all. So now he's got that settlement that apparently has happened. But not, we haven't even touched on Burisma yet. We haven't even gotten to the $5 million bribe or the cocaine use or the prostitution or any of the other things that are all right there in the laptop, and the FBI has been sitting on this for years. So none of that has even come, you know, come to an actual prosecution or a settlement deal yet. That's not the part we're talking about here. But back to this gun charge. Okay, this is the part of what's so infuriating. I was on a show the other night with my good friend Rob McCoy, who's a pastor out in California at Thousand Oaks, and just an amazing guy. We actually filmed our biblical citizenship class at his church, and he, of course, stars in it and teaches so many good things. It's just, he's incredible. Anyway, but he was talking about our mutual friend and really good friend of his, Mark Ibrahim, who was a DEA agent. He was potentially going to be a CIA agent. The guy's a federal agent, and he was at January 6th, did not go into the Capitol, did not do anything wrong, but as a law enforcement officer, had his firearm on him. And somehow, some way, they find out he's a patriot and someone that actually loves the Constitution and loves freedom. So they prosecute him, and the guy has had to go like 2 years without being able to carry his firearm, horrific, life-altering persecution against this guy. And yet, Hunter Biden gets off scot-free, not a day in jail, preferential treatment, because he is Joe Biden's son and because he's a progressive. And the same thing is happening with Joe Biden. The very thing they impeached Donald Trump for that he did not do with regard to the whole Ukraine situation and withholding money if they didn't do something, all that. The very thing they impeached him for, Joe Biden actually did and bragged about it on television. And yet they're not going after Joe Biden. Well, I say they're not going after Joe Biden. Our good friend Lauren Boebert is going after Joe Biden. Her articles of impeachment on not all this stuff, that hadn't even got to that part yet. She's impeaching him for what he should have been impeached for 2 years ago, which is the open border, which is not doing his job. The job of the president is to faithfully execute the laws. It's what Article 2 is all about. And he has allowed this open border. He's actually encouraged it. He's created the situation. And millions of people have been harmed as a result. And so hats off to Lauren Boebert. God bless her for being willing to take on even her own party. Frankly, McCarthy, I think, is wrong on this one. I think this impeachment should go forward. I know they've got their strategies, and we just disagree on they want to wait and do it on the $5 million bribe and not do two of them and all this. I say accountability. I am proud of Lauren for what she's doing. And I'm thankful that she's there, man. I'm telling you, that little pistol packing mama, she's got more guts and more backbone and more grit than, you know, most 200-pound MMA fighters. I'm telling you, she's doing a great job, and this impeachment is important. Because it's part of the it's actually upholding the Constitution, and a lot of people want to shy away from doing the right thing because they watch the wrong thing be done and they're afraid they'll get thrown in that bucket. What I mean by that is there are people in Congress and in the Republican Party that are like, well, you know, they impeached Trump twice for bogus charges. Adam Schiff now has to, you know, he still won't admit that he lied. He's been censured by Congress because he lied to the American people and pushed this Russia hoax thing, even when he knew it was not true. Just like Rachel Walensky and Joe Biden and the rest pushed the jab, even though they knew it wasn't going to stop transmission. So these people have no ethics. They have no center, no bedrock principles of truth. But so Adam Schiff now, you know, is censured because of all the lies that, and Republicans are afraid. They're like, well, they impeached Trump twice, and because they impeached Trump twice and it was bogus, if we impeach Biden, even though it's not bogus, it's actually impeachable. I mean, certainly bribery is listed in the Constitution as an impeachable offense. Certainly not faithfully executing the laws and allowing for millions of people to be harmed and many to be killed, raped, all the stuff that's happening. I would say those are definitely impeachable offenses. There are those who don't want to impeach because they're afraid of looking like the Democrats. Well, you know what? Get it right then. Amend the articles of impeachment and get all of the things that he's done wrong into the articles of impeachment. Come together and have one big impeachment if you don't want to have these multiple articles of impeachment. But do something. I mean, it's June, folks. It's June. The presidential nomination is going to be wrapped up in about 8 months. Well, maybe 10 months on the Democrat side, for sure. RFK is coming on strong. As I've said it on the program, I like the guy. I mean, he's a liberal on a lot of stuff, but he is great on exposing the corruption of government. He's great on the big pharma literally controlling the FDA and these things. He understands what has happened, and he is absolutely the Democrats' worst nightmare. Let's put it that way. So he's, you know, but I still think their Democrat nomination is going to be wrapped up pretty quick. Republican nomination, I don't know. That's a whole other show, folks. In fact, we need to spend some time talking about the Republican nomination because, you know, that's going to be a knockdown dragout. I know DeSantis was campaigning today in South Carolina. A lot of people are dismissing all opponents of Donald Trump because he's, you know, 25, 30, 40 points ahead, depending on which poll you look at. And I say, I think we need to play this thing out. I think we need to see what's going to happen. And, of course, that brings us back to, you know, the original discussion of Hunter Biden, and that is the two-tier justice system. While they're slapping him on the wrist, they're going after Donald Trump with made-up stuff, man. I mean, they're literally changing the law to go after Donald Trump. And they're going after Donald Trump for the exact same thing that Joe Biden has been doing in spades. Right. So Joe Biden's got here a document, there a document, everywhere a document, classified documents everywhere, access for people that obviously don't have clearance. Joe Biden was not president at the time, so he could not declassify these things. Donald Trump was president at the time, did declassify these things. Therefore, there shouldn't be any charges going against Donald Trump. But that's the two-tier justice system. This is the Orwellian America that we live in. And the way that George Orwell had this done in 1984 is that they give a false impression of justice. So this whole thing about slapping Hunter Biden on the wrist, the reason this is happening right now, this is not by accident. This is so that they can say, see, no one's above the law. We go after Democrats, we go after Republicans. And you go, wait a minute, how is it that you can say that you're going after both sides, but yet you're giving one side little slaps on the wrist and you're throwing the book at the other side and saying you want them in jail for the rest of their life? That's not equal justice. That's not blind justice. That's preferential treatment and persecution based on political persuasion. And that's what these people are all about. I have said two-tier justice system. I've used that phrase a million times in the last 3 years. I mean, I was talking about that, you know, when the riots were happening in 2020. And now, thankfully, there's more and more people talking about it, and Congress is even talking about it. Kevin McCarthy's even using that phrase. So I do think, as I said at the beginning of the program, I do think we're at an inflection point. This stuff is so obvious. It is so in your face that people that have sat on the sidelines, people in the middle that didn't want to get involved, you know, just want to be nice to everybody and love everybody, yada, yada, those people are finally going, whoa, enough is enough. So maybe that's our theme for today. Enough is enough. And the people in the middle are finally getting it. Parents are saying enough is enough. Why do you think there's this mass exodus from the public school system right now? Enough is enough. I know we're a family-friendly program, so I want to be careful how I describe this. But the headline yesterday that I saw on The Blaze about this 12-year-old girl who was raped in the bathroom of her school because of the transgender pride adoption of the, you know, literally embracing all of this stuff at her school. They were promoting it. They were talking about it in the classrooms, all of this kind of, I mean, it was horrific. And this girl gets raped in the classroom, in the bathroom at 12 years old. Friends, when you embrace sin, when you embrace this agenda, and then you turn around, if the school where you're sending your children has embraced this stuff, you are sending your lambs to the wolves. They're going to be devoured. Do not let that happen. Get your kids out. If that school that your kid's going to, I don't care if it's public, some private schools are embracing this nonsense. If it's charter, whatever, if they're embracing all of this pride stuff, you better get your kid out. Find an alternative. Find a way to homeschool. Find another private school. Do what you got to do. Make the sacrifices. Sell the car. Go to a one family income. Whatever you got to do. Go to people in your church and beg for help. When I was a kid, there were people in our church that made it possible for us to be homeschooled at a time and private schooled at a time. They came alongside us. We weren't wealthy. We couldn't afford it. You're in that situation.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with us today. We've been talking about the two-tier justice system and the whole thing with Hunter Biden this week, a new settlement every day with some sort of legal issues that he's got, and soon that will involve his father and his uncle and all the other people that were involved in the Biden crime family syndicate and the selling of United States favors, which is what this is going to come down to, and what happened in Ukraine and could be, who knows where it will lead with regard to all of the things that we're doing right now, giving them $115 billion, $150 billion, whatever it's up to now. But the story from Ukraine before was when Joe Biden was vice president. And the doling out of favors and the bribery scandal to require the firing of a prosecutor to get off his back, the company that his son was working for. I mean, it's a tailor-made for a movie kind of scandal. I mean, it's just obvious corruption, and this guy is still sitting in the White House. So articles of impeachment, thank you, Lauren Boebert. I know there's a fight going on among conservatives and among Republicans over this right strategy on impeachment. Okay, fine, you guys duke it out, figure it out, but just make sure you're prosecuting. Make sure you're moving forward. And not only with Joe Biden, but with Mayorkas, which I understand there's articles of impeachment that have been filed against Secretary Mayorkas as well, because the border is a disaster. So all of those things are happening. And I think we should celebrate that. I think we should take a moment and say, hey, you know what? This is good. This is good. We finally got people willing to fight. Christians have been sitting around petting lambs for too long, and it's time to tap into the lion part of our Savior, and it's time to be bold as lions. The Bible tells us that the righteous are bold as lions. And it is great to see people from our side finally getting bold, finally fighting back. That is part of our challenge in every community across America, is this wimpy Christianity that has seeped into the church, this idea that somehow you have to be nice to be a Christian, and that you can't have tough love. You can't be a warrior. You can't actually fight for the things that you believe in. You're supposed to just, go along, get along, accept everything and everybody, whatever it is, that tolerance is somehow, as we said in the first segment, it's the highest value other than safety. Safety is the highest value for, don't get me off on that. I got a book coming out about that. But this whole idea of just tolerating evil. If you tolerate evil, you are not following the Great Commission. You're not following the commands. I mean, Jesus got so sick of evil that he turned over tables, he fashioned a whip, and he got busy. Not suggesting, I know, you know, Right Wing Watch and all the leftist groups are out there listening to me right now, and they're just looking for something to grab a hold of and take out of context. So I have to always be very, very clear. Not suggesting violence at all. I think the only time to use violence is when you're in self-defense right now. That's the only time, you know, somebody attacks your family, you deal with some of the 4 million violent crimes across America, you have to use violence to stop violence. That is okay. That is proper. It's one reason a great book title my son and I have been talking about, Gun Violence Saves Lives. Borrow that from a professor friend of mine. But sometimes you have to use violence to stop violence. In fact, that's typically the only thing that will stop violence is better violence on that person. And that's okay. That should be done. And Christians, some Christians think that's don't agree with me on that. They actually think there are some Christians out there that actually take the Bible verse about turn the other cheek. And they actually think that you should let someone beat the snot out of you. They actually think that you should stand by. I've even heard a major evangelist say that if his wife was being raped, he wouldn't use violence to stop the rape. I can't even comprehend that. I don't even know in what universe, certainly not in a biblical universe, that makes any sense whatsoever. Jesus Christ said, sell your cloak and buy a sword. This was not the decorative sword that's hanging at the, you know, at the church or wherever or at the museum. This was a thrusting dagger used for self-defense. So this wimpy Christianity's got to stop, folks. We get over it. It's there's nowhere in the Bible that it says be nice. Be kind, yes, be kind. Kindness can be tough. It is not kind, and it is not loving to lie to people. To lie to them about themselves or about truth or about sexuality or about sin. And when you change the definition of love and you require a tolerance of evil in order to love someone, and you actually lie to them about the impact it will have on their life, that is not being kind. That is not being loving. And Christians need to wake up and realize that. And I think they are. Okay, so back to what I started with today. I do think we've got an inflection point. I think the niceness gene is finally being pushed away. I think there's enough people that have awakened to realize that we need some tough love in this country, that we need a restoration of principles, and that sometimes that takes hard work, and that we have to be willing to say, you are wrong. We have to be willing to say there's a right and wrong, and what you're doing is wrong, and it's harming our community, our state, and our nation. What you're doing is wrong, and I will not allow my children to grow up in a community where what you're doing is so wrong, it's mental illness and sexual deviancy, and I'm not going to allow you to normalize that in my neighborhood or at my child's school or in my state. That's the kind of toughness that it's going to take. And it's happening. It's happening. There are people like, you know, we had a pastor, John Amachuku, on, and we're going to have him at Patriot Academy this summer. There are people like him going all over the country, standing up at school boards and saying exactly what I'm saying right now, standing up at school boards and taking these pornographic books and shoving them in the face of these school boards and saying, this is in your library. There are teachers using this material. There are people putting this in front of 7 and 10 and 12-year-olds, and it has got to stop. That's a masculine Christianity that needs to come back. That's a muscular Christianity that needs to come back. That is a what would Jesus do moment if I've ever heard of one. You know, today everybody's what would Jesus do? Oh, he would sit around and pet lambs all day. No, he wouldn't. He would be turning over some tables right now. Again, I'm not suggesting go in and turn over tables. I'm suggesting turn over the debate. I can't think of the right analogy. I'm suggesting stand up and use your voice. Everything we need to do to save this country is at our fingertips in a peaceable manner. But it's got to be tough still. It's got to have some oomph behind it. You got to tap into the lion part of our faith. If you do that, we can turn this culture around, and we are seeing it. There are many in Congress that are standing up. There are many in state legislatures across the country. There are some governors that are standing up. And most importantly, there are pastors that are standing up. And it's the pastors, I think, that are the key to ultimately turning the tide. It's the church that must be the epicenter of the community again, and it is the church that must stand. I mentioned this last week or week before last, but, you know, and I talked about Rob McCoy earlier anyway, but Rob McCoy was hosting a panel, not a panel, but an interview with Riley Gaines at the Turning Point Pastors Conference a few weeks back. And when he finished and he talked about just the incredible, incredible courage of this girl. And she's so articulate about it too. I mean, she just, I don't know if you saw maybe next week we'll play it, but the testimony she gave at Congress. And when Senator Kennedy was questioning some left-wing lady who would not even admit that men have an advantage in sports. And then he turned to Riley Gaines and she just knocked it out of the park. Anyway, Rob was interviewing her before all these, you know, 1,300 pastors. And when it was done, he said, we should be ashamed that she had to stand up for herself and we weren't standing up for it. It's time for the church. And these pastors applauded. I mean, I'm telling you, we've reached the tipping point. We've reached this inflection point. People are done. Enough is enough, they're saying, and they're willing to stand up. You want to know how to stand up? Go to patriotacademy.com today. Get signed up as a coach. Start hosting classes in your community, and you help educate people on these things. All right, let's go to the phones. I'm sorry for taking so long to get to them. The phone number is 888-589-8840. And I'm on the road, so I don't know who we've got here, Bobby, but go ahead. Actually, I can't hear the caller. There we go.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. What's your comment or question today?
Yes, sir. I also wanted to tell you about, you was talking about pain earlier, a license for pleasure and pain. Well, I've developed a theology, and it's hard facts now, and it's not no theory, of all the religions in the world, the Buddhist, the Muslim, the Satanist, the communist, those are religions. It takes more faith to believe you came from nothing. Evolutionists, all the religions, all the philosophies in the world, the one that has the least amount of suffering for its members within its religion is the Christian religion. Even a masochist might enjoy physical pain, but he probably don't enjoy emotional pain or spiritual pain. In other words, this is a foolproof argument for Christianity. It's the only religion in the world that has the least amount of suffering if you follow the Bible.
I lost you there, man. Your phone cut out. I don't know. I'm trying to process what you're saying and make sure I'm understanding your point correctly. The part I got hung up on was, I think that's true. If you're following God's word, you're going to have the least amount of pain because His system is the best, and the laws of nature and nature's God are obviously designed by Him, and so He's giving you the instruction manual to live life according to the principles that He put in place. And so if you do that, you get the most benefit and the least pain. 100% right. The part I was hung up on, though, was I started thinking about the fact that we're the least persecuted Christians in history, but the Christian population has typically been very persecuted, right? I mean, we've got it better than Christians have ever had it, and we should be thankful for that. And when I talk about the persecution of political persuasion and particular faith, the two-tier justice system, and all the things that are happening in America right now, I don't ever want to gloss over the fact that we do still have, despite all of that, the best system in the history of mankind, and Christians should be thankful to live in this country 100%. But to your point, I think what you were saying, and the point I would, even if you weren't saying this, the point that I would make is that without a doubt, if you want to avoid pain and you want to have pleasure, and you want to experience the good things in life, it's counterintuitive. But the best way to have the most pleasure is live within the boundaries that God gave you. And Zig Ziglar always said it this way, if God's best blessings are within His boundaries. When we get outside His boundaries, when we get outside literally the lanes that He gave us, the guideposts that He gave us, when we get outside that, it might feel adventurous, might feel fun for a little while, but it's where you end up having the most pain. When you do things His way, you experience the most pleasure. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. All right, let's go back to the phones again. Phone number 888-589-8840. Who do we have up next? What's your comment or question today?
Hello, this is Cornelius. Rick, how you doing?
Cornelius, good to hear from you, brother. How are you today?
I hope you're still using Black Lives Mafia.
Well, no, man. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, you gave me a better one, Black Lives Maoist. I've been using that.
There you go, Rick. No, I was telling your call screener, on News Nation this weekend, Brian Innes is going to do a special because the communist Chinese are buying up all the land they can, and Biden's letting them because I think he's been bought off and everything, just like Ukraine's bought him to get us in that war over there. But I don't know if you saw where they've already built a base in Cuba. They have the Panama Canal. So I tell everybody, Rick, get your God, guns, and gold, Bible, bullets, and beans. Look at Luke 22:36-38. Christ told his disciples to have two swords. So we need to have two guns to defend ourselves. So I believe you're right. We need to defend ourselves. Cornelius, we go out and shoot anybody.
That's right. That's right. I was going to say, for the first time in our visits together, I disagree with you on something. You know what it is? Two guns. I had to get rid of a lot of guns to only have two guns, Cornelius. Come on. Maybe you meant carry two at one time. I don't know. I'm giving you a hard time, brother. Absolutely, you're absolutely right. And all of those things. And everything that Cornelius is talking about, you know, I always joke with people and say, you know, don't get depressed and say America's done. Grab your guns and canned food. Go hide out at the ranch. But have your guns and canned food and ranch. That's just preparation. That's just smart. That's just being, you never know when there's going to be a hiccup in the economy, when there's going to be a hiccup in world affairs, or when the apocalypse is actually going to happen, or the things in Revelation are going to actually happen. I hope they don't happen for 1,000 years. I hope my kids get to live in peace and enjoy a new America that gets back to the old America way of doing things and free enterprise and blessings and all. I hope all that happens, and I'm working towards that. But I'm also preparing for other things, right? And absolutely we should be prepared to defend ourselves. And with the freeze and the electric grid going down and things like that happening all the time, you definitely should be prepared for being able to sustain yourself for a few weeks at a time or a few months at a time or whatever you can afford to do. Great call, Cornelius. Absolutely. And yes, we're gonna keep using that phrase, Black Lives Maoist. Folks, the Maoists are and by the way, the land thing he's talking about, whole nother issue. Maybe we'll talk about that next week. Just did a conversation with that with David and Tim Barton on Wall Builders. Some of these states are passing these laws preventing China from being able to buy up land, and I think that's a good thing. I think some of those things need to happen. All right, folks, we're out of time for today. It has been fun. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back with you next Tuesday. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You've been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith, family, freedom. American Family Radio.
Moms, are you fed up with the trash our children are exposed to, such as TV shows, movies, and music?
I've had it up to here.
Absolutely. It breaks my heart.
1 Million Moms is a community of moms who are successfully standing against the evils of the entertainment media.
Can I really make a difference?